Well, good evening, everybody. We are here at the Antlers. Kind of strange. It's been so beautiful lately. We thought spring had sprung here in Sault Ste. Marie. It's still light out, which is something a little different than when we normally do this show all winter. But coming down to the end of the hockey season, the Lakers, I don't know what was going on this past weekend. Zach Sizek's here with us tonight, the assistant coach of the Lakers. He'll fill in for Damon Whitten. And Damon will join us for Laker Hockey Talk this week on Thursday morning as the team gets ready to head to Ferris State. But, Zach, how do we explain a 6-1 win Friday night and a 5-1 loss on Saturday night? I'm still kind of scratching my head over that particular series with Northern Michigan.
I think, I think one thing is on Friday, our compete level was really, really high. I don't think we quite got that fire until the third period. And then I think that was for a mixture of reasons. I think obviously we were down, so we wanted to get back in the game. And then obviously some of the extracurriculars that happen after the whistle and things like that are easy to get some fire with. So, I've really liked our last stretch here. So we loved our Friday game, probably our most complete game of the season. And then unfortunately Saturday, I just didn't think our compete level was consistent enough for that, especially that first 40 minutes.
Now, did that have more to do with the fact we had won 6-1 on Friday night? Maybe our guys thought all they had to do was show up and they could beat the Cats on Saturday night, or did that have anything at all to do with the pregame festivities that to me take an edge off your team? You're ready to go. You're in that dressing room. Then you go out and you have a love fest for about 20 minutes. Because it's senior night, and then you're supposed to bounce right back from that and go against an opponent who got beat 6-1 Friday night's already upset, and then they sit in that dressing room and listen to your senior night. They can hear all that stuff, and they're in there getting angrier by the second. So they're really pumped and ready to take you on in the first period, whereas you're coming off the honoring of some great seniors, six of them, and that took a while to do that.
Well, I think to address the first part of that in terms of our guys thinking they could come in and just it would be easy, we said it a lot that it wasn't going to be. Obviously Northern, I think they're still at third in the conference right now.
Yeah, they're a good team.
They're a really good team, especially up front. They have guys who can change the game pretty quick with their shooting ability. So I think that it was a mixture of our compete level was just okay for that first 40, as well as Northern playing a good hockey game too. I think they moved the puck well. I think they skated well, and I think they played a lot harder than they did on Saturday, than they did on Friday. In terms of the senior night, it's a weird feeling once you after warm ups and then. You can't tell if it's going to be a emotional a little bit there right before the game. But it's something that, every school has to deal with it in some capacity in terms of the senior night and the seniors. That's they deserve to be recognized. And I don't think it's a very good excuse for our guys not to to be ready. Because our seniors deserve to be recognized in front of the most people we can.
Yeah, and it was a nice affair too. And then we also switch up our jerseys a bit because of Czech/Survive, which we don't have the final figures on yet, but I would think that was a big success. I think we had a tremendous crowd, for one thing, 3,000 people in the building. And, nothing in Sault Ste. Marie draws quite like Laker hockey, and that was a great crowd. And I think a lot of people took advantage of the opportunity to get involved with Czech/Survive as well as that senior night game.
I think the crowd both nights, but like you said, especially Saturday, it was awesome. And that was something that our guys after the warm-up coming in before the senior night, they'd mentioned that a couple times. So certainly another reason to get even more excited for the game. But the crowd, the student section was awesome. So we can't thank people enough for that.
Well, it was a great crowd. It's too bad we get beat 5-1, but the positive thing out of it, and we saw that at the end of the game, was Lakers get the Coppell Cup. I can't remember the last time we won it. It's been 4, 5, 6 years since we took the Coppell Cup, I think. And it's the first time this group of seniors has ever had the opportunity to carry that cup around and get a picture taken with it, et cetera. It's emblematic of the season series between Northern Michigan and Lake Superior State. And as I say, it's been a while since we won it.
We were a little bit it's all engraved. So I think it was Coach Witten's. It was either his first or second season when it was the last time. So obviously it was great to get that trophy. You know, if we could switch the Friday and Saturday, it's probably better to win on Saturday when you're grabbing the trophy. But nonetheless, it's really important for us. It's a great rivalry against a good team. So really important for our guys to, you know, go into Tech and win Winter Carnival and then win the Coppo Cup against Northern Michigan. That's we really like winning both those trophies.
Well, yeah, the Friday night game at Michigan Tech was probably our best game of the season up until Friday night this past weekend. I think that was probably our best performance of the year, certainly offensively. And Max Humitz had a couple of goals. Ashton Calder scored one of those goals that you'll never forget because it was a long-range goal right under the bar, and just some great play. I thought we played really well on Friday night, and Brendan McKay gets a big goal with a shorthanded goal. We score a power play goal. It was just a really good game for us. Let's talk a little bit about that game.
Very, very complete. You know, like you said, we get the special teams was good all night. You score a power play goal, you score a shorthanded goal. I thought we got good goaltending, and you know, our secondary scoring was great. Obviously, with Max and Ashton getting on the board, those guys get on the board a lot, and we need them to, as two of our best players. So we really liked it from that standpoint. But as I mentioned earlier, I thought our compete level for 60 minutes was really, really high. That we thought there was a ton of times where we went to go hit them and we just forced the puck away from them because we wanted it more and they didn't want to engage physically with us. And I think that's what we were probably most proud of, and that led to turnovers in all of our offensive possessions. So I think that's probably what we talked about the most going into the week. And then that's watching the game back Friday, late Friday night. That was, you know, that was our, those were a lot of our clips on Saturday morning. Is if we want to have a long season here going into playoffs, this is the way, this is how playoff hockey's played. And we were really happy with that Friday performance, obviously.
Well, we're down to the final two games of the regular season this weekend. We'll travel to Ferris State. We'll talk about that series in just a moment. We'll stick with Northern Michigan here. A lot of interesting activity post-game on Saturday night, too. Luke Bolton got into it with Will Rydell a bit, and Rydell was kind of holding on to his jersey, and Bolton was trying to knock his hand off his jersey, and he kept hitting the referee, Bruce Vita. I thought, wow, this guy's going to get something out of this, and he did get a minor penalty for roughing, I think, and then the little guy got into it, Lachlan. He slam dunked somebody from behind and got tripped and dumped in the corner, and he ended up with a couple of penalties. But there was a lot of verbalizing there at the end of the game. Damon wasn't happy. I've never seen Mike York that animated. He was yapping at the referee. He doesn't usually say anything, and it was just a really emotional end to a tough game.
Yeah, I don't think the emotions there were just off of one play. I think that's pretty clear to see, is that build up over the whole weekend and even dating back to last year. It is a rivalry. I don't think there's any secret that either the teams, we don't like each other, and that's a good thing. And you know, I liked for the most part the product on the ice. You know, obviously there's some things that we took offense to, and I'm sure there's some things that we did that they took offense to, and that's what makes this rivalry so much fun.
Well, it's a series where, you know, Northern Michigan's team's different than a lot of teams that you'll play against in college hockey. They kind of build that team for that Olympic sheet that they play on their home games. They've got a lot of guys who aren't real big up front, but they're really quick and they're high-end talent with stick skills. And then they got some really big defensemen who like to run you. So, and some of them are young. They had three freshman defensemen all weekend, plus a sophomore goaltender. And you know, they're built for what they try to do, but they also like to try to draw penalties. They'll leave their feet. They'll move around in areas where a lot of teams won't go. And they're a tough team to play against, and they can really get under your skin, some of them in particular.
Yeah, I think obviously one of the reasons that what definitely sparked a couple of those extracurriculars there was we took offense the way, how a couple plays went down, but definitely a tough team to play against. Like you said, that group up front, we think is really, really good. A lot of high end players up there, and they've got a couple defensemen that are really smart breaking the puck out. I think that's probably their biggest asset on the back end there. But definitely a good team, and they're you know, I thought Friday when we were ahead, I think it's a little easier to control your emotions, to have discipline when you're winning. But I'm really, really, we talked about it after the game. We haven't had many times like that this year where the team came together like that after Saturday night's loss at the end of the game there, where we have guys standing up for each other, and we're able to go back into the locker room after the game, have a very honest assessment of not only that game, but pretty much our play since Christmas. And everyone agreed that we're very happy with how we're playing right now. And even a loss like that with some cheap stuff going on here and there, wasn't going to break us, because we feel like we're building a lot of momentum right now.
Well, it was a big night. I mean, you go out pregame, and we pay tribute to Max Humitz, and Colin Sackleman's actually on the ice for the first time since early December. He comes out in his jersey, et cetera. And
he practiced that, actually.
Yeah, I know he did. Brendan McKay, Brian Basilico, you got Braden Gelsinger out there, Ian Johnson, who was a pretty popular player at Lake Superior State. That's six seniors, and we did pay tribute to them. And now their season's over on home ice. They're not going to play there again, and we'll go to Ferris State, and then the team will go somewhere, probably to Bemidji State, first round of the playoffs, and see where we go from there.
Yeah, it's definitely sad. I know that they've just accomplished, you know, a ton in their time here, and we mentioned some of that after the game. You know, for a guy, for example, like Ian Johnston, he was someone who got singled out. Just with the way he carries himself every day, the impact he has on the guys in our room, whether it's a guy like Max, who's obviously our captain and playing a ton, or maybe it's a guy who's not in the lineup or who's playing but not getting a lot of ice time. He's able to relate to every person on our team, which is something I think is really special. You know, the rest of our guys, you know, the rest of those seniors, they've done a great job representing what we want our program to be about. And we hope that we can make this season really long here.
How about we got Ferris State coming up this weekend? When we come back in our second segment here, we'll talk in depth about that series coming up down at Abel Glaben Ice Arena in Big Rapids, Michigan. Looks like we're pretty much, well, we are. We're locked into seventh place, Zach. We can't go any higher, and we can't go any lower regardless of what happens this weekend. I think we're the only team in the league right now that has no opportunity to move one way or the other by winning this weekend.
That's probably pretty close, and I think obviously you want to go back. You always want an extra win or two in there, and we thought we were close in a couple of them, and I think we would have been right in that mix too. And I think the playoff series is all but set. You know, there's still some jockeying up at the top there with a mm-hmm. big series with Mankato and Bemidji this weekend. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, that'd be a great series to see. Bemidji State playing host to Minnesota State this weekend. A couple of powerhouses there. Mike Hastings didn't fool around last weekend either. He beat Huntsville 18-0 in the two games, 10-0 and 8-0, and gave them nothing. And obviously setting up to, hey, we want to be rolling high when we go to Bemidji here, and then after that into the playoffs. So they're really jockeying those two teams, but they're both good, and that'd be a great series at Bemidji.
Yeah, you know, I think that's going to be a great series between the first and second place team in the conference. And I think selfishly a little bit, we hope it's two hard fought games, and there's going to be a lot of emotion in it, especially with the conference championship on the line, because we'll be playing one of those two teams next week.
Yeah, we're going either to whoever's number two. That's where we're going the first round of the playoffs. We'll take a break here on our show tonight. Zach Sizek and I will be right back. Talk more Laker hockey on ESPN 1400. All right, we're back for our second segment of the Laker Hockey Show. One of our last shows of the season, as a matter of fact. We'll be down unless we go deep in the playoffs. This show we'll have a show next week, and then one possibly after that, and that'll be the season. Boy, it seems like it just started, Zach. I mean, it seems like we were just looking forward to playing hockey in October, and here we are down to the end of the year.
Yeah, especially with the first stretch of games, or I think we're the last team to have a bye weekend there.
Yeah,
So
we
it
did.
felt
We
like
were.
it just we kept playing games and kept playing games, and there was no break. And so I absolutely this is flown by.
Yeah, it's a very quick season. It always seems like that, though, when you come down toward the end of it. I think this weather we've been having lately, too, we're starting to think maybe it's early April, but it's
Beautiful.
not. We got lots of winter to go here yet, I'm afraid. And we'll see what happens here. We're supposed to get a little bit of snow later this week. But talking about the Northern Michigan series and getting ready for Ferris State, the Bulldogs have something to play for this weekend. They can still grab the last playoff spot in the WCHA. If they were to get a sweep this weekend, 6 points, and Alaska Anchorage only gets a point or two, they would move ahead of them and into eighth place. And so they've got something to play for here. They'll be tough come out on Friday night down at Big Rapids.
They'll be really tough, and I think it's no secret to any team in our league that Ferris is a different team at their home rink, because it's a really small sheet, and pucks can come from anywhere. There's a grade A chances it can happen at any time, so it's definitely a hard place to play, and a place that they're very used to playing. And when you put on top that they're playing for playoff lives right now, it's going to be a really, really challenging weekend here.
How's the health of the Lakers right now? Are we injury free and pretty much all hands on deck for Friday night?
Yep, I've had bumps and bruises and things like that, but that's all right now. Just bumps and bruises.
No serious injuries other than Colin Sackelman, who's been missing since early December. We've gotten used to not having the big guy around. Boy, if we miss him though. I mean, our team would be that much better right now at this point in the season if we had him on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just for obviously his ability to defend, but his offensive jam, his net front power play, how tough he is. Their guys don't really want to look at him on the other team. He's a scary dude, so we miss him in a lot of different ways. But he's done a great job since we've been back, for this second semester, making sure in the locker room that his voice is being heard.
Yeah, he's always in the room, and so not on the road, but all the home games, and he's a big presence for Lake Superior State University. We'll miss him a lot. We wish him well, though. Great guy, the Magic Man, and we never did get him on the show this year. He's got a class on Tuesday night, and talked to him just last week about that fact and why he hasn't been able to be on. But Lakers stuck in seventh place. Dogs can move up into eighth if they get some points this weekend, so they'll be tough. Got a lot of questions this past week from fans, and since you're the guy who handles goaltenders for us, I'll ask you tonight. Seth Eisley has not played for the Lakers all season, but he looks pretty good in practices. We're at the point now where we can just not play him, and he'll pick up a year of eligibility. He would have 4 years remaining eligibility as long as he doesn't get into a game here these last few games.
That's correct, and I think I don't really know what the plan was originally coming into the season. I think as it played out, for especially in the beginning there, he had a lot of he had an injury coming into the season this summer that it took a little while to rehab. Getting his conditioning back, I thought was really important. I think he's taken a ton of strides. He's a guy who really likes to learn and to be out for goalie sessions and to watch video. So yeah, as of now, Seth is going to be able to redshirt. And we'll kind of leave it at that right now, I think.
Yeah, he can. As long as he doesn't play, he's good to go for 4 more years here. If he plays in a game, then he burns a whole year of eligibility. That's how goofy the NCAA rules are, but that's the way it is. So we can save him by not playing him, and he probably would not travel. If we traveled, we'd probably have Roman Bengert play that role. And you work with these guys all the time. Talk a little bit about some of the goaltending sessions and the things that you can do. You go out with them in separate sessions. You'll take a couple of forwards maybe out with you to shoot pucks, and you've got a whole practice session for them. How long do you do that? How often do you do it? And it's obviously been effective. It's really helped Merrick Smittens this year. He's gotten better and better.
For my philosophy is as I'd like to take each goalie out individually every week, different goalie coaches around the country have different thoughts on that. I think it's really important to have that one-on-one time with that position. All three of our guys are different frames in terms of their sizes. They have different strengths. They have different weaknesses. I think we can get. I think we're utilizing our time the best if we have them all out individually.
Well, they've done a good job getting better this season. There's no doubt about that. I don't think there's any doubt that Seth Eisley could go in and play goal right now and probably do a good job. But if we can save a year of eligibility by not playing him, that's the way I'd go with it at this point. I mean, we're down to the final two games of the regular season. Let's look at the Bulldogs a little bit. I don't know how much you've paid attention to them and what they do. They're 5-19-2 in the league right now. They've lost six straight hockey games, so they're hungry. They do play much better at home than they do on the road. They're kind of a strange team with scoring, too. They don't have big scorers. Their leading scorer right now has 21 points, 4 goals, 17 assists, and he's a freshman defenseman, Jake Willits. And then they've got a kid with 16 points, and he's a senior defenseman, Nate Callen, 6 goals and 10 assists. Those are the leaders on this team, and they're forwards. Marshall Moise is probably the best of the bunch. He's got 10 goals, 15 points on the season, stands third on this team. And then the senior Jason Tackett, who played real well, I thought, against us in the two. We won two games by 1 goal each game back in October against these guys, and he was really good, Jason Tackett. He's got 4 goals, 13 points on the season, though. And they're averaging about 1,380 fans a game down at Abel Glaben. Probably won't have a huge house in there necessarily on Friday or Saturday, but they'll come hard because they always do at home.
Yeah, like I said, it's a different environment there. You have to prepare a little differently. It's really, really, as it always is, to take care of your net front, defensively picking up sticks, but then offensively finding ways to get free. It's even more important this coming weekend because it just happens more because of the size of the rink. You mentioned their defensemen. We think they have a very, very talented defensive core, especially offensively. I think off the top of my head, I think there's at least another guy or two in their top six in scoring, I would guess. Another one of those guys is a freshman too. So definitely as we're preparing for them this week, that's already come up, is that the back end for them is a big strength.
Yeah, Joe Rutkowski is a senior defenseman. He's got 13 points. 2 of those are goals. He's a veteran, but he's a really good defensive defenseman too. And, you know, if they still had Cooper Zeck, last year's rookie of the year in the WCHA, he turned pro at the end of his freshman year, they'd be a lot better than they are. They wouldn't be fighting for the final playoff spot. They'd be up in the standing somewhere.
Well, I think you see how important the, you know, offensive defenseman scoring are. Yeah, I know last year I think we finished in the top 10 for defenseman points last year, and it really was a spark for us. Now you obviously need the depth up front. A couple other things need to happen for that to play into your advantage, but defenseman scoring is so important.
Yeah, it certainly is, and our defensive scoring is down a bit this year over what it's been, and we're hoping that'll pick up here as we go down to Ferris State this weekend. We'll have both games for you on YesFM. Saturday night's game starts at 7:05. Saturday, I think, Zach, is a 6:05 start. I think an hour earlier, which is good news because that's a 4-hour trip and we can get home at a decent hour.
Well, it'll be great, especially going into a playoff series too. So any rest we can get, we will definitely appreciate.
Now, you've been resting this team pretty much for the last month or so. We've been taking more time off. I don't think we did much on Monday this week after the weekend. We didn't do much today. We'll go back into practice sessions tomorrow. But this is a team that's been going hard. I think you mentioned it earlier. We were the last team in the WCHA to get a break, to get a weekend off, and that came in January. So we've been hard at it ever since the first part of October, if not September here. And we are trying to conserve some energy, shall we say, going into the final regular season series and then that playoff series, wherever it may be.
Yeah, and this is all, as you look in the schedule before the season even starts, a lot of our practice times, workout loads are all by design. So our strength coach, Taylor Brown, has done a really nice job every week that the guys' weight load that they work out with gets decreased, and that's been a plan for the whole season. Same with our practice schedule in terms of when we're giving guys days off. The last couple of weeks, like on Mondays, we went out as a team, but it's been very short, under 30 minutes, and they go in the weight room for under 30 minutes as well, especially on a week like this week where I think it's really important that those guys, they get outside when they can, and it's nice out, and they get to take some time off here before a couple big games.
Yeah, and I guess if you've got to go and finish off the season, Ferris State's about as good a place as any to go. It's 4 hours away. That's an easy trip for us, certainly compared to some of the others that we make. And we'll be back at a decent hour on Saturday night going into Sunday morning, and then you get ready to go somewhere. It's probably going to be Bemidji. I mean, and they're tough. That is a very good hockey team that Tom Ceratori's built there. And it's ironic. We beat them last year in the first round of the playoffs and sent them home for the year. That's what they want to do this year to us on their ice.
Yeah, they've done a really nice job this year. Their coaching staff does an awesome job. And you know, I think they're structured. And probably the biggest thing that's given them success this year is that they don't beat themselves. And that means they're well coached, and on top of that, they're getting great goaltending this season.
Yeah, they got tremendous goaltending. Zach Driscoll's been it's either he or Dryden McKay, it seems like, every week on the Players of the Week. Now, this past weekend, it was the great performance by Minnesota State in shutting out Alabama Huntsville twice. They got three of the four Players of the Week. Mark Michaelis was the forward of the week. He had 5 points. Three of those were goals. And then they had the goaltender of the week, Dryden McKay. That's the seventh time this season he's been named goaltender of the week. And they had the freshman, too. I can't remember the rookie's name, but he's won it like four or five times this season. So no surprises there. They always look at points, and when you win 18-0 on the weekend, you're going to get lots of points. And Tommy Muck was the defensive player of the week, the defenseman of the week from Bemidji State, and that's because he had a good offensive weekend as a defenseman. So those are the players of the week. Lakers Northern didn't get a sniff at that, although we did have some, I thought, pretty good performances, and we'll talk more about that in the second half. We're going to take our second break tonight. We'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for our third segment of the Laker Hockey Show at the Rowdy Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Only a few shows left in the season. We've got some great fans who come down here with us every Tuesday. It doesn't matter if it's snowing or beautiful like today. They're here. They're great Laker hockey fans, and we appreciate that. Now, we're going to get into a little bit of recruiting talk here in the second half of the season. That'll keep all the fans who listen in every week on the stream happy, because they're always asking questions about recruiting. And Zach, you do a lot of the work. You and Mike York are out doing spade work all the time. Damon gets out whenever he can. We think we're pretty much set for next season with what we're losing and what we have coming in at this point. But you're always working on this stuff, and we work on a lot, like all the teams do nowadays, on futures. You're always looking at the young guys, who is being projected that could help us out 2-3 years from now. We've gotten a couple of kids this year who have committed verbally to us, can't use names, haven't signed national letters of intent, but I find it always intriguing that we'll bring a kid in here who's playing AAA midget or something, and he'll watch his play, and then he'll commit to us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to come for sure, but it's very interesting how you have to work that now. You got to get out and look at these young guys, and you're right in the middle of all that.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a process, and there's a lot of different ways to go see these kids. I think it all kind of kicks off at the USA National Festivals in Buffalo in the summer, in June and July. You get a lay of the land for the top kids in the age groups for the 15s, 16s, and 17s. And then you end up following them. Then you see them the next year at the same camp as they get older. So the recruiting season, it definitely does not end. And like you said, we think we're pretty close to being ready this year, but things are for next season. But things can always change, so you have to be prepared with players that you like and players that you've invested time in. And I think that's one of the biggest puzzles about recruiting.
Yeah, defensemen, we're going to lose Sackleman. We're going to lose Anderson, who is he's eligibility wise, he's done. So even though he's played 3 years, he'll be out of here. So we will have a number of defensemen back next year who are all experienced. I mean, you got Will Rydell is going to be a senior. He's a very good defenseman for us. You got Keibel and Nordquist. I mean, these guys can play. And I think Arvid Henriksen has been a real pleasant surprise. He's done a great job as a first-year player. And you can see why Montreal wanted to take a shot at him as a draft. And he's going to be back next year. And we're going to bring in Jacob Bengtsson, another Swedish player joining us. We'll have four Swedes in the lineup next year for us. And we've got another defenseman. We can't use his name yet because I don't know that he signed a national letter of intent. He's playing in the BC League, but he's a good defenseman. I read up on him quite a bit, and he's playing with another great defenseman on a really good team out there, and that bodes well. I think we're going to have a glut of defensemen, but we had them this year too. We had 8 or 9 this year to start the season, and we needed every one of them.
Yeah, you have to be good from your net out, obviously, with your goaltending and then the defending. All teams that make it, that have long postseason runs, they have depth at that position too. We have to be very confident that we can play 6 or 7 guys and roll them. And especially with a couple of our guys right now, they play both power play and penalty kill along with 5-on-5. That's a lot of minutes. So the depth is really important, and you just can't have enough good players on your back end.
Yeah, and up front, we've got some good players coming in. I should make a mention, too, that Jacob Bengtsson, the young man from Sweden who's coming here next year on defense, he's playing in Waterloo in the USHL. And a lot of our fans think we need way more players out of the USHL. It's a top junior league, et cetera. I think we put a lot of emphasis on the British Columbia Hockey League, which is a really good junior league as well. And we've got a player coming to play defense for us next year out of that league. We also have Josh Wildauer, who has signed a national letter of intent. He's playing in Coquitlam in the BC League. Benny Posa has signed a national letter of intent. He's on Des Moines' team in the USHL. He's coming in as a forward. And the kid out of Marquette native Spencer Denbesti, is playing in Johnstown for the Tomahawks in the North American League. And those are three forwards coming in next year. What do we know about them at this point?
We're excited about them, and all three of those guys, their compete level is very, very high. A couple of big bodies there too, with Spencer and Benny. But all three of them, I think the trait between all of them is their compete level is just through the roof. And they're hard to play against. They're well respected, not only on their teams for someone you don't want to go into a corner with, but the whole league. It's anytime we're on the road, we hear about those guys a lot.
You know, we heard a lot the last year at this time. We heard a lot of things about Dustin Manns, for instance, who's playing for us now. I think Dustin's gotten really good. The second half of the season, he's been a really good player for us. He's no longer, I mean, he is a freshman, but once you get past that midway point in your first year and you gain some experience, one of our best face-off men, a strong kid, big body on him. He can take abuse and dish it out. He's become a really good player for us, and that's what you hope for. When you bring these guys in here, they may not be blue chippers per se, but they're players who can learn and get better and better, and that's Manns is a good example of that this year. We've got 4 or 5 of them like that.
Well, I definitely agree with you, and I think that's that's a big part of recruiting, and also the player development aspect is hopefully you're doing a good job every year with that, so you're recruiting the right kids who you think are going to develop and the players you think they're going to be, and hopefully you did that the year before, so while the current freshmen have that learning curve, the sophomores, juniors have already had that learning curve, they can set the standard a little bit, and I think that a lot of that's on the player. Once they get here, it's on player development then.
Yeah, and the difference in these players nowadays, too, I've been around a long time, and I can remember back, 35 years ago, the players were not the same with how they looked at the game as they are now. They were good players, there's no doubt about that, but these guys now really, they consider themselves pro. I mean, they try to do things, they try to live a certain way, they try to eat a certain way, they take care of themselves pretty well. They spend a lot of time off-season in the weight room trying to get stronger. They all know they really need strength to be effective, and the mindset is totally different, and I would imagine the coaching mindset because of that is totally different as well.
Well, I say that definitely speaking for the players first, you're absolutely right. The You look at our guys, they're in unbelievable shape. I think, part of that's resources. Like I think we do a really nice job. Like we've had two strength coaches the last 2 years who we think are very, very high-end coaches, high-end people. And they've done a really, really nice job, from the being able to feed our guys every week and little things like that and building in skill development days. You have to have that pro mindset. I think it's like a 1% of hockey players growing up, like they end up playing Division I hockey. So it is expected that you prepare like a pro every day when you come to the rink, because if you don't, there's hundreds of other kids who would want your spot and who would be more than willing to put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and you'll see that with all these teams. I mean, there's so much blue chip type talent on a team like Minnesota State. A lot of other teams have teams that they've recruited players who they think can fit into their systems and who will grow there, and I think that's what Lake Superior State's been doing a really good job at. These kids have gotten better and better. Talk a little bit, if you would, right now about the goaltender who's going to join us next year. If we redshirt Seth Isley, he'll have 4 years of eligibility remaining, and Merrick's Mittens will have one next year. He'll be a senior, so he'll be out of here after next year regardless. But we've got a young guy coming in from the BC League playing in Salmon Arm, I believe, is where Ethan is. Ethan Langenegger, he's a pretty good goaltender. You look at his stats, he's got some really good statistics. Now, you've watched him play. You're the goaltender guy. What kind of kid is this?
We have very, very, very high expectations for Ethan. A couple of things, the main thing that stands out about his game is that he's a smart hockey player, and I think that gets lost in the shuffle a lot. I think goalies kind of get cast off as the different position and not so much as hockey players, but I think something that has separated him is his hockey IQ, his ability to read plays, and his ability to limit how much moving he's doing around the crease to look like, he's not doing a whole heck of a lot, when in reality it's because we think he's a smart goalie.
Yeah, you look at Ferris State, the team we're going to play this weekend. They've used three goaltenders this year quite a bit. They have Roni Salmenkangas, the kid out of Finland, who's a sophomore, I think, now. And he's played the most, but not a whole lot more than the other two guys there. They've really shared the goaltending. In fact, the other two goaltenders, the freshman and the sophomore, they have better statistics than Roni has right now. So you get into these teams where you're struggling a bit, and we're liable to see two different guys this weekend playing goal for Ferris State.
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance that could happen. Well, obviously, we're hoping that they do. That means we probably did a good job against them on Friday night. Every season has different, I don't want to call them challenges in that position, but every season is you have a couple different goalies on your roster, and 1 year one goalie might play every second. It might be a 50-50 split. Certainly if you think you have like in their situation, they're in a situation where they want to play three goalies. Again, we talked about the defensemen. You can't have enough good defensemen. Goaltending is the ultimate insurance spot, certainly in recruiting. You can't just rely on one guy because you're only an injury or shot away from dramatically changing your season with someone else in the net.
Yeah, it's always, you're not sure what's going on when it comes to goaltending, but it's so important. I mean, you can't win without a good goaltender. I don't care what team it is. If they're a good team, they've got a great goaltender in there. You look at Dryden McKay at Minnesota State and Zach Driscoll at Bemidji State, and even us. Merrick's Mittens has had a really good year. He's gotten better and better. His stats are outstanding right now, and the only time he struggles is when we don't help him out a whole heck of a lot in around the front of the net and in tracking back, and we let people go. And it's pretty hard to beat a two-on-one when they're coming down or a breakaway. And yet he's stopped a lot of them this year. I can think of a lot of breakaways that kid's turned the other direction.
Yeah, I think when evaluating Merrick's performance after every weekend, we typically will watch Friday night's game, we'll watch that Saturday morning, and then watch Saturday's game on Monday or Tuesday. And what we evaluate, a big part of it is, did you control what you could control? There's going to be times where a puck hits off a skate, or for whatever reason, it's a bouncy puck. We have to for him, it's making sure that he can control the shots that he needs to make saves on, and that he's putting himself in the best position. And to put himself in the best position, he has to be constantly aware of what's going on and setting himself ahead a couple steps.
Yeah, we should make mention too before we take our last break on the show tonight. I didn't mention him; I kind of missed him. There is the Sioux kid, Brendan McLaren. He's a freshman at Ferris State. We'll see him this weekend. He's been playing. He's played in 26 of their 32 games this season. He's got 3 goals. One of those was against the Lakers back in the month of October. And that's a good young kid right there, Brendan McLaren. And he'll be in a lineup for Ferris State this Friday night, I'm sure, against Lake Superior State. We'll take our final break. We'll be back. We'll talk about the standings and the teams going into the playoffs right after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show tonight. Don't forget Laker Hockey Talk Thursday morning right here on ESPN 1400. That'll be at 8:30 a.m. and Damon Witten will be doing that show with us before he gets on a bus and heads to Ferris State. And we have Zach Sizek with us tonight doing a great job filling in. Lots of stuff to talk about here. And one of the interesting things, I think we had kind of alluded to it earlier in the show, Zach, is that there's still some battles going on here for the playoff positions. There's nothing decided up there. Everywhere between Northern Michigan in third place with 47 points, and then Alaska with 43, Bowling Green with 43. They're in a dead heat for fourth place right now. And Michigan Tech's only 2 points behind them at 41 points. Anything could happen there. You got Tech playing, I believe, at Northern Friday night and then at Tech Saturday, a home-and-home series there. You've got Anchorage playing up in Alaska. Both games are at Fairbanks, so I guess the Nanooks have a bit of a favorite spot right there. And Bowling Green's got the easy road. They're going down to Huntsville, but Huntsville's just, they're done now. They can't win anything. They can't get in the playoffs. Their season's going to come to an end this weekend, and Bowling Green's a good team. They're playing pretty well right now. You would think they'd pick up 6 points right there, but a lot of battles going on right in the middle here. Do the Lakers have any sort of preference? Have you guys sat down and said we'd rather play at Bemidji than at Minnesota State, or does it matter?
I don't think so. Especially in our situation, we want to get through the first round and you're playing the other one, so it doesn't really matter. If we play Bemidji in the first round and you win, you're probably going up to Mankato that next round. So we have to play those guys, and if you want to get to the end, you have to beat the teams that are ahead of you. So in terms of a preference, not really. We're gonna have to be prepared for two really, really good hockey teams.
Yeah, they are. They're outstanding teams. Minnesota State's on a mission right now. They are ranked in the top three in the nation this week again, and they want to win a game in the NCAA tournament. They've never done that. They've been in the tournament 5 times and haven't won a game yet. They always lose that first one out, so that's their goal this year. But Bemidji State's been a really good team, a surprisingly good team, really, but they've got great goaltending. They'll be tough. I don't think either one of them be easy. Last year we played Bemidji here. We won 2 straight games and put them out for the season, and we advanced, and we went to Minnesota State, where it seems like somewhere along the lines in the playoffs we play there every year. And we gave them a tough, that was a great series. 2-1 Friday night, they beat us. And then 2-0, I believe, on Saturday night. And that was the end of our season. And that was a tough way to go out.
Yeah, we were, obviously that Mankato team last year was really good. And yeah, we loved our effort performance down there. We needed to score a couple more goals. But even, I think Diego scored a minute and a half into that first game on a breakaway. I think it was, I think Mankato knew then it was going to be a battle, not that they didn't expect it. 2 really good games. You look at that Saturday game, they scored 2 goals within 2 minutes of each other on a 5-minute penalty that they didn't even call on the ice. And that was those were the only goals for the game. Anything can happen in playoffs there, so we're going to have to be ready for a couple weeks ahead here.
Yeah, wouldn't you know it, too, Bemidji and Minnesota State, that's the 2 longest trips you can make in our league. It couldn't be Northern Michigan, it couldn't be Ferris State that we're playing, but that's the luck of the draw and the way things go right there. Those are tough, tough road trips. And it remains to be seen what's going to happen here. We didn't have any luck at all. I think we played over in Bemidji either early I think it was early November or first half of the month, or was it?
Yeah, early November.
And we lost twice, 7-1 and 5-1. They pretty much dominated play. We'd like to think we can play a lot better now than we did then.
Absolutely, and I think at the time Bemidji, I don't know how many games they played. I think they only played 4 or 5 games, and before that time, they'd only had one win. And I remember coming back home and answering some questions from people, and they didn't realize what kind of team Bemidji had. And we definitely, you know, after playing them that weekend, the results they're having this year are not by surprise. I think when you look back to our second series at home, which we only played them 2 or 3 weeks after there, especially that Saturday night game, we were able to storm back there and take 2 of the 3 points in that overtime win. Definitely leaves us with a good taste in our mouth, but at the same time, they won 3 games of our 4 this year.
Yeah, and it was a good series when we played them here. It was a much different situation than over there. You never know what's going to happen. One of the nice things right now, the Lakers pretty much have solidified their lines. We pretty much have the same people playing together right now, and their chemistry is pretty good. You can throw away Saturday night. Certainly Friday night, the chemistry was clicking. Everybody looked really good. And we rolled 4 lines, and we're getting excellent play out of just about everybody.
Yeah, I know we've hit it on this show before, but the secondary scoring has been close to a month now, has been a nice spark for our team. And even if it hasn't been scoring, we think that those secondary line players have been playing really good hockey. I've been taking some of the load off of a guy like Max or Ashton there up front. We think we're getting contributions from a lot of different players right now, which this is the best time of the year to do that.
Yeah, you got the 3M line kind of clicking there. I mentioned Manns earlier in the show, but Yuki Miura's had a heck of a year for the Lakers, especially defensively. And Miro Muka starting to come on now. He was touted pretty highly when he came in here as a freshman. He didn't play all that much. He didn't play much the first half of the season, hit and miss here and there, but now he's in there all the time, and you can see him gaining confidence. He's a great kid. You want to see him do well too.
Yeah, I think you hit it there right at the end of confidence with him. As with any freshman, it's tough to get in the lineup right when you start. And there were a couple times, I think, last year when a mistake happened, he broke down a little too much, and he needed to do that because he learned the right way to respond. And this year, like even you look at this past weekend, he was making a lot of plays, a lot of skilled plays at the blue line. And I don't think he would have done that last year.
Yeah, that's all part of the game and maturing as a player. Zach, we're out of time here tonight. I want to thank our fans for being with us. Good luck this weekend at Ferris State. Let's hope we get points there and get the right frame of mind to go into a playoff series a week from now.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All righty. That's another Laker hockey show. Sam Cox doing the job back at the station. Matt Pocket stayed awake throughout this show, and we thank him for that. He always does a good job for us here. And we'll be back next Tuesday night with another Laker hockey show live from the Antlers on ESPN 1400.